And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Today, some very interesting topics. I have two wonderful guests. They've each been on my program before, and they are gentlemen who are scholars who know what they're talking about. We're going to talk about the Illuminati, the elite, the Bilderbergers. This side of the program, I've got a fantastic guest residing in Spain, in Europe. I believe he's still from Spain. I'll ask Daniel Estulin in just a minute. He is author of a book that we offer. Now, you're going to want to get a pencil and paper or a pen and take down some information, because I know you're going to want to order both of the books that we're going to offer to you today. We're going to offer Daniel Estulin's international best-selling book, True Story of the Bilderberger Group. True Story of the Bilderberger Group. I'll tell you how to get that book when we just say go to halftime. And then on the second half of the program, I'm going to have my good friend Mark Dice of Resistance Movement. And he is a resister of evil, resister of the elite. And he's author of a great new book called The Illuminati, Facts and Fiction. What are the facts? And what also is the fiction about the Illuminati? But we start right away with Daniel Estulin. He's on the line right here. And I'll bet you he's been a very busy man. Daniel Estulin, welcome to Power of Prophecy.
Texas, it's always a pleasure to be on your show. I was looking very much forward to actually doing this when I found out that I was going to be on your show. I said, fabulous. We haven't talked for about a year, so much has happened. And needless to say, since the Bilderbergers met a few weeks back in Greece, I've done, by last count, about 400 interviews with 17 countries in Europe, Asia, and North America. So, again, it's great to be on your show.
Well, they've just met in Greece, right?
Absolutely. They met in Greece 14th to the 17th of May. Of course, you wouldn't find that out reading the New York Times or the Washington Post, because needless to say, they're not going to tell us anything about the meeting, because they were on the inside looking out instead of being on the outside looking in.
Okay, now I did read a few major press articles from Great Britain, and it was very interesting. They said that for many, many years, the Bilderberg Group acted or met and conducted their nefarious activities in relative seclusion and quiet. But in recent years, certain pressure has been put upon them because of the publication of certain items. And I suspect, Daniel Estulin, that one of the big things that's really put pressure on them is your book.
Well, I would very much like to think so. My book has sold over 2 million copies worldwide. It's now in 5 continents. In the next couple of months, it's coming out in Ethiopia and South Africa and Egypt. And so, again, it is an international bestseller. But, again, unfortunately, 2 million people worldwide. It seems like a very large number, but when you compare it to a billion people who watch the Oscars, or 400 million Americans and Europeans who are going to be watching the NBA basketball championships or the Super Bowl finals, it does seem to dwarf for the builder, doesn't it?
Yeah, and isn't that a shame? Because our very lives, I mean, our financial futures, our homes, the economy of the world really seems to rest on what this small group of elite Bilderbergers is doing. And you're right, so few people even know about it. Well, let's tell the folks who are awake listening to Power Prophecy a little bit. I know you've been through this so many times, but in about 1 minute, who are the Bilderbergers and what are they up to?
I'm going to give you an example. Just imagine if 100 of Hollywood's most beautiful people decided to meet in an exclusive hotel somewhere far away, removed, exclusive area, protected by MI5, by MI6, by CIA, FBI, the elite division of the army, away from prying eyes and away from the media, and someone in the media found out. Now, do you think the American media would be swarming trying to find out what 100 most beautiful Hollywood people are talking about?
Yeah, I suppose about a million paparazzi would be there with their cameras.
Exactly. Now, this is a little bit in a nutshell what Bilderberg is. Needless to say, they're not as handsome or beautiful as the Hollywood best. But again, you're talking about 120 people whose combined wealth is probably about 85% of the Earth's wealth, meeting once a year in private, in secret, in a five-star luxury hotel protected by the same MI6, the CIA, the Israeli Mossad. And no one in the mainstream press is talking about it. Again, one of the reasons is that they're on the inside, forming part of this elite, talking about the plans to control humanity.
All right, now we're in the midst of a financial crisis that's unheralded, they say, since the 1930s and the Great Depression. But here we are in the midst of it. And I want to ask you, Daniel, in the very short time we've got together here, you know, I'm an American. You live now in Europe, in Spain, I assume.
Spain, that's right.
All right. I want to ask you, what do the Bilderbergers, in their most recent meeting, from your intelligence, from what you've been able to find out, what are they up to? In other words, what is in store for the United States?
Okay.
For Great Britain?
Right,
let me go on now. United States.
I'm sorry, I'm interrupting you.
Well, I want to know first the United States. Then I would like to know Britain and Europe, and then let's go on to Russia, Africa, and so forth.
Okay, well, in a pre-meeting booklet, which I was given about a month before the meeting, they were talking about four different issues. One, the United States unemployment figures looks like they're going to go to about 14% by the end of this year. That's one of the key issues they're talking about. Another key issue they were looking at to debate at the Bilderberg Conference, whether the financial crisis that was orchestrated into a prolonged stagnation, 5, 6, 7 year stagnation, or a much shorter, much more intense depression. Another key issue was, needless to say, the surge in Pakistan and Afghanistan, and the near future Balkanization of Pakistan, meaning they're gonna do to Pakistan what they've already done to Yugoslavia, break it up. You can imagine the strife that will create. And as far as Europe is concerned, the need, the necessity, urgent necessity, really short term, to pass, you know, by any means possible, even of our dead bodies, if these have to be, the Lisbon Treaty, which is the watered down version of the European Constitution, which basically puts all the European states under the yoke of the people who control European Community, European Parliament. And again, one of the things that people in Europe do not understand is, according to the European Constitution, in times of crisis, it takes precedence over national constitutions. Now, we know how easily crisis can be orchestrated, so you can just imagine how much these people need for this vote, which is going to take place in Ireland. It's the last state to hold out. They've already voted no. And so the plan, Bilderberg plan, is to vote is to use a whispering campaign in the United States media to try to do damage to the man, millionaire, who is sponsoring the no vote in Ireland by the name of Gandhi, and they're going to actually equate his money, which he made, to the profits by dealing with the United States extreme right wing and the United States militia. That's the plan.
All right, let's just go to Ireland real quick here in Europe. They did vote against, the people of Ireland, against joining the European Union. But as I understand it, Ireland is really being punished now with its economy.
Well, Ireland is again one of the many states in Europe, and you're seeing it in the United States. You're also seeing it in Spain. They're overextended in so many ways. Again, cheap credit is never cheap. It always comes at a price. We saw it in the Great Depression in the United States, which wasn't really a Great Depression. It was simply a transfer of wealth. We, the people, lost our equities, our money's our home, and then someone came along and for pennies on a dollar, you know, literally bought it all up, and these are the same corporations, the same individuals who all form part of the secret societies, the Bilderberg, the Bilateral Commission, or so many other organizations in Europe and the United States who all joined the dilemma, who basically have the same plan in mind, control of the world.
Now, President Obama, when he was a senator, introduced legislation to force Americans to pay a global poverty tax. In other words, it would be working through the United Nations. And in America right now, Daniel, people are up in arms. You know, we had these Tea Party demonstrations throughout the United States. They're angry about taxes. And yet Obama is pushing for this United Nations directed global tax. Are the Bilderbergers also after this?
Absolutely. They actually talked way back in the early 1990s. I believe the first time they brought it up was 1992 in Evian in France. They were talking about taxing at the wellhead, you know, for gasoline. Then it was, and the reason they were actually talking about it was apparently the excuse was to use the monies to rebuild Kuwait. Of course, it was nonsense. And once people accept that tax, what they basically do, for the first time in history, you have an organization which is not voted in by anyone in the world suddenly becomes, you know, the global policeman for collecting monies from people in individual countries, which, of course, that set precedent. So that's how they work. Do you know what I mean? Something that brought up a Bilderberg meeting, you know, 1 year, 10 or 12 years later, miraculously becomes an international law. The same thing that happened with the Rapid Reaction Force, which is basically a de facto European standing army. In 1992, the same year, they talked about it for the first time, and then they came back in 1996, you know, the need to create this European standing army to fight the apparent, you know, Holocaust and genocide in Yugoslavia, which is, of course, all a bunch of nonsense, as we found out later on. And suddenly what happens is that during national and European elections, this was the key issue in the debates, both in 1996, then in 1999, then in 2004, and again it's up. So basically what happens is the media takes the key issue, such as the European Standing Army, and it becomes the key issue in the debates, both national and internationally in Europe, and people who are against it obviously are sought and looked at as Nazis, and of course it's just the other way around. And again, that's how Bilderbergers work. Nobody tells anybody what to do, but, you know, the initiative that 1 year is proposed by someone within the group, you know, 10, 12 years later becomes a law, both in Europe and then internationally.
Now, has Iran, the attack and invasion of Iran by Israel and the United States, been put on hold by the Bilderbergers while they're destructuring Pakistan?
You know, the issue of war against Iran has been up and discussed in the American, certainly not in the mainstream press, but in the alternative media, going back to the you know, Chantilly meeting in 2002 when they were talking about the war in Iraq, I've always said the war was off the table. It was never, the European Bilderbergers literally drew the line in the sand, especially after Iraq, 2003, 2004, and they told Bush, keep your hands off of Iran. And America may be the world's most powerful country, but it's not more powerful than the world. That was basically the message to the United States government, and that was passed on to Rumsfeld when he came to Chantilly in 2002, was told again in 2003 in France, you may be America, but you're not more powerful than all of us combined, so keep your hands off of Iran. So I have never believed, and I've always said it, that there's not going to be a war in Iran. So no, they did not certainly talk about it, because I do not believe, as much as the Israelis are saber-rattling and they want to go at it, there's not going to be a war in Iran. It just gets to be too messy. They did, however, talk considerably about the upcoming situation in Pakistan and Afghanistan.
All right. Now, my understanding is, and I'm absolutely positive of this, the nuclear weapons in Pakistan have already been secured by U.S. and Israeli forces, and the Pakistani military have no control whatsoever over the nuclear weapons in their own country. Israel, let's go to Israel real quick. There's no doubt at all that Rothschild, Soros, and others who are members of the Bilderbergers are promoting a greater Israel. What do you think they're going to do over the next couple of years in promoting this greater Israel?
That was not discussed at the meeting.
Mm-hmm. Well, it certainly is. I'm sure that's not put on the back burner. And Netanyahu hadn't been put in office for no good reason. So I think a greater Israel, some steps are definitely going to be taken. Daniel, we've only got about 1 minute here. Some years ago, Margaret Thatcher, Prime Minister of England, and you wrote about this in your book, was actually deposed because she would not go along with the Bilderbergers' plan to bring England under the umbrella or wings of the European Union. Do you see any problem now with any of the world leaders such as Obama or Merkel or Brown in England? Are they cooperating now?
Well, they're very much cooperating. Of course they are. And you know, you can see it right now. What is actually happening, you know, to say something positive about Barack Obama, to avoid war, Obama is going to have to be strong. And that's one of the things that Bilderberg is not particularly happy about right now.
All right. Well, Daniel Estulin from Spain, author of the tremendous book, True Story of the Bilderberg Group. Hey, my friend, thank you very much for being on Power of Prophecy today.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I'd love to be back. I love your show, and I hope people keep listening because there are very few people like you out there who tell the truth, and we definitely need more and more of Tex Marsters out there, you know, if we want to win this war.
Thank you so much, Daniel, and I put you in that same category. God bless you, my
God
friend.
God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay, that was Daniel Estulin, author of The True Story of the Bilderberger Group, or the Bilderberg, some just call it the Bilderberg Group. I want to mention his book is available through the ministry here. You can get it through powerofprophecy.com, order it online, or you can send us a check, a money order, or cash for $30. That's $25 for the book and $5 shipping and handling. And ask for True Story of the Bilderberg Group by Daniel Estulin. But if you don't spell his name right or don't spell Bilderberg, we'll still know what you mean. If you get a misspelling, we got some pretty clever people here, pretty smart, and they're always very helpful working here in the ministry. And as always, we try to get out our orders for books within about one or two business days. We don't like to mess around. We know if you're interested in a book or a video or audio, well, you're interested in it, and you deserve first-class service. And that's what we do here. We take care of you. We really care for you. We appreciate your support of Power of Prophecy Ministries. Again, order the book, $30, on powerofprophecy.com, or you can phone us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673, or you can send us that check or money order, cash, $30, to Power of Prophecy, 1708, Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733 in the United States of America. Okay? Now, that's the story of the Bilderbergers, but I got a few more items on the Bilderbergers. Daniel Estulin had to go because he seems like he's got about 20 interviews a day from what he tells me on this subject since the Bilderbergers met. I have found through some, oh, let's just say some very covert intelligence, the Bilderbergers are meeting again, but this time there's going to be a summit held in Tel Aviv, and it's being held June 8th through 11th, a summit of the Bilderbergers. And my understanding is that Obama is going to have some part to play in this. He's heading over to Cairo, Egypt, and he's going to give a major policy address to the whole Islamic world. I don't expect a lot out of it, but he'll try to claim that the United States is a friend of the Muslims. But in fact, Obama is owned by the Jews and by Israel and the Zionist coalition. And a lot more on that in the future. Now, back to the Bilderbergers. I want you to know something. They're meeting in Tel Aviv, having this summit meeting this very week, because Tel Aviv is now the world financial capital. And that recognition will come forth over the next few years. The World Trade Center was the destruction of America, symbolized the destruction of America as the world financial capital. Now, at the same time, Tim Geithner, the Secretary of Treasury of the United States, was in Greece in mid-May for the Bilderbergers meeting, along with many other Obama White House folks. And Geithner, evidently, according to the American Free Press magazine that I trust a whole lot, and they've had their Representative Jim Tucker to sneak in to a lot of Bilderberger meetings and find out a lot of stuff. But they say that our U.S. Treasury Secretary, Tim Geithner, was there, and he enthusiastically endorsed the plan for a world Treasury Department. Oh, yes, friends. They're going to have a global currency, the end of the American dollar. You could have read about this now a decade ago in my incredible book, Millennium, Peace Promises and the Day They Take Our Money Away. You can still order that from the ministry, by the way. We have it available. And it seems as fresh as, well, today. Everything in the book is as fresh as can be. The global currency, the defunct American economy, everything I predicted in the book Millennium has come to pass. But evidently, Gettner assured the super rich of the Bilderbergers, the Rothschilds, the Soros, and so forth, that we would cooperate fully in bringing together the New World Order, that we could achieve a global solution to the world economic meltdown, and that, yes, Obama, our president, would go along with a global tax structure. There's going to be a global IRS eventually. That's what the Bilderbergers are all about. All right. So we've covered a lot of ground here talking about the Bilderbergers. I want you to understand that they decide what your future is going to be. And by the way, here in the state of Texas, I knew the fix was in for our state when our own governor, Rick Perry, who claims he's a man of the people, and if Obama doesn't do right, why, we'll secede from the Union and have a Republic of Texas. Oh, baloney. Governor Rick Perry is in the back pocket of the Bilderbergers. He's a member of the Bilderbergers, just as Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton also are members. And as Obama, Gettner, and all the others, they're very subservient to the Rothschilds. That's why we're building the Trans-America Corridor through the state of Texas coming up from Mexico. If you were to visit my ministry and I had time, and I'm unfortunately too busy, but I'll give you directions. Just 45 minutes from Austin, Texas, where I'm at, they're building this gigantic 12-lane NAFTA superhighway. And don't believe for a minute that Rick Perry is not in favor of it. He's one of the main honchos pushing it through the state of Texas, because the Bilderbergers want it, and they're going to get it. And our governor, our president, our Congress are owned by the Rothschilds. Hey, I've got another great guest here. In fact, Mark Dice has been on my program before. And you spell that name D-I-C-E, just like the dice that you throw. But this is not a gambling book, let me tell you. This is a book of fact and information. I call it an encyclopedia, a virtual encyclopedia of information about the Illuminati. The title of Mark Dice's new book, and it's pretty hot off the press, is The Illuminati, Facts and Fiction. Evidently, there's a lot of facts. In fact, I'm looking at this book right now, just sort of thumbing through it. I've already read it, thumbing through it again here, holding it in my hand, and my goodness gracious, we've got a massive book here, including bibliography of about 412 pages, over 400 pages. It's sort of like, it's not everything about the Illuminati, but it's more than, well, virtually any other book. So this is an encyclopedia of information. Mark Dice, welcome to Power of Prophecy.
Always good to talk to you, Tex.
Hey, you know, you've been going on a lot of programs with this information, with your new book, and I want to compliment you on doing such a great job. You know, you were on before, and we talked about your book, The Resistance Manifesto. And in a way, this is sort of a form of resisting the evil elite by your writing and publishing this book, huh?
It is, and that's part of the goal, is to get everybody educated about it, because if we can realize the system that's been designed to destroy our lives spiritually, financially, our health, socially, emotionally, if we can really see that this is by a design, that there is this agenda going on and the mechanisms of propaganda and of influence that are pushing it along and poking and prodding society into the direction of destruction that they have planned, then I think we can more easily avoid the pitfalls that have been designed, and you can live a more productive life, a happier life, become more successful, have your family grow into the more basic family structure of a loving group that it was supposed to be before this group of criminals have been manipulating society on a massive level. And I think that that's one of the keys, is to really just learn who it is, the systems of manipulation, and how it works. And I think that, you know, as Jesus said, know the truth will set you free. I think that's really one of the most important things.
Now, the Illuminati, of course, we know that there was an order of the Illuminati, the actual order that was formed in 1776 by Adam Weishaupt. When you use the term Illuminati, is it more of a sort of a central umbrella? Do these people consider themselves Illuminati, or do they operate under many different subterfuges?
It's sort of like the mafia didn't have a name. It's, you know, the La Cosa Nostra just means this thing that we have. And so what I call the Illuminati, it is the umbrella group that encompasses numerous organizations and ideologies that are all functioning in concert together. But there is an inner circle at the core, which could be considered the core of the Illuminati, or the wise men, the families that are really at the core of the group. But the Illuminati encompasses the Skull and Bone Society, the Bilderberg Group, the Council on Foreign Relations. So it's a term that is very broad, but it does identify the groups and the individuals that are involved in this conspiracy. And I don't like to use the word conspiracy. It's more of an agenda that's being perpetuated. And if you trace the agenda and the goals of the original Illuminati back in 1776, that was founded in Germany by Adam Weishaupt, if you read their own writings that have been released to the public that you can get in English, and you read their goals, you read their method of operations, you look at the Skull and Bone Society, the membership, the goals, the institutions that they founded, the people that are involved, the sort of criminal activities that they're involved with, it becomes very clear that there's a common thread between the Illuminati of several hundred years ago and what we would call the Illuminati today in their activities, their symbols, their goals, their beliefs, their Luciferian doctrine, which maybe we can get into later. So there's a very clear series of groups that have been carrying on this tradition and this ideology.
You know, that is a real interesting analogy when you talked about the mafia, but all of the various names, you know, mob, organized crime. You mentioned, what, La Cosa Nostra?
Mm-hmm.
And it's also interesting, too, as you undoubtedly know, there's the Sicilian or the Italian mafia, but certainly there's been an Irish mafia, and it appears that from the testimony now coming out in many books and such, the Jewish mafia, you know, was running the whole thing. So like you say, there's a lot to this. Why do they have so many groups, do you believe? What is their purpose? Why don't they just have one huge conspiratorial octopus?
Well, there's several different levels of goals in the Illuminati. One, of course, is, in a sense, the same as the mafia, or we'll just lump all the different racial mafias into one and just call them the mob, an organized criminal
yeah.
group of several families, be it the Italian mob, the Jewish mob, the Irish mob. And their goal was basically to maintain power and make a lot of money at the expense of others through criminal activities. And so that's one level what the Illuminati is doing. They maintain power. It's the ultimate drug, as Henry Kissinger said. It's the ultimate aphrodisiac.
Mm.
And so it's this organized criminal network to maintain power, political power, banking power, media power, so that they can have an abundant life of wealth and luxury. But more than that, it's the power and it's the control which they crave. And that's one level. That's one level of understanding. But if you take a few steps, if you continue down the rabbit hole, so to speak, there's some very serious, very real implications with Bible prophecy, as you know, I'm sure many of your listeners know, with the Illuminati, and that they are creating this infrastructure and perpetuating the philosophies and the religion that the Antichrist will then use to seize control and become a global dictator, sort of like Hitler on a global level, and then declare himself to be God. And then these secret societies, the high-level Freemasons, the Skull and Bone Society, are going to come forth and say that this is the long-awaited Christ, that they've...
Okay, hold on. We're running out of time on this half of the program. But I'm telling you, I'm gonna start right back with that when we come back. The Antichrist, Bible prophecy, the Illuminati. Mark, you're on to something very interesting in my heart. So please stay with us, Mark, and all you friends out there, you're listening to Power of Prophecy. I'm Tex Mars. I'm interviewing my friend Mark Dice, the Illuminati, Facts and Fiction. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Hello, friends. Tex Mars again here. Are you as interested in exposing, unmasking the Illuminati elite as I am, as Mark Dice is? You know, I don't think there's anything more important than salvation to us today. You know, you start off with God and Jesus Christ. Well, that's the most important priority in our lives. But, you know, the Bible says there is an adversary. There is an evil one. And we have a job. We're to occupy. We're to fight. And our fighting is done with spiritual weapons. And the scriptures say that we perish without knowledge. We must have knowledge. In fact, did you know that Daniel 12, verse 10 says that in the last days the wicked shall do wickedly and none of the wicked shall understand. But, oh, I love that. That's a huge three-letter word, but the wise shall understand. How do we gain understanding? I believe one of the ways we understand the forces of evil. Now, remember, I'm not asking you to major on evil. I want you to major on Jesus, major on the truth. But part of that is to expose the darkness so that the light can shine through. So we go into the secondary role of Christians. Exposing the darkness, what Satan is doing, what the Antichrist is going to be doing when he gains world power. And we know that there is a secret band of men and women. And as Mark Dice shows in his book, The Illuminati Facts and Fiction, they congregate in these secret societies. And when Mark comes back with us in a few minutes, I'm going to be asking him how they're able to mold the minds of men through popular ways such as Hollywood movies. Boy, he's got a lot in this book about that. In fact, there's a lot of everything in this book, over 400 pages. That's why we want to offer it to you. Now, for a short time only, we're offering it to you for just $18. $18. Is that right, Sandra? Sandra's my producer here, and I think it's $18. Okay. So I think that's a bargain for a 400-page book. $18. Now, please add $5 shipping and handling, a total of $23, and we'll get this book right out to you. Now, here's how to get it. Phone is toll-free in Canada and the United States, 1-800-234-9673, 1-800-234-9673. Hey, if you're listening to us on powerofprophecy.com, a radio, or conspiracyworld.com radio, it's right there on the home page. Listen to the program, and after it's finished, it's going to be right there on the home page, and you can order the book immediately on the internet using PayPal on your charge card and all those things. Now, our toll-free number, you use your charge card again, 1-800-234-9673. Now, you can write to us and send us a total $23. That's postpaid. That takes care of everything. And say, Tex, send me the Illuminati, Facts and Fiction. Or send me the Illuminati book by Mark Dice. We'll know what it is. I tell you, they're pretty bright folks working here. Yeah, Sandra, she corrects me all the time. I think there's a conspiracy here in the office between Wanda, my precious wife, Sandra, and a few of the other folks, Jerry, Barrett. They keep correcting me, and I'm glad they do, because we also want to offer you Daniel Estulin's book and the true story of the Bilderbergers. How much is that book, Sandra? 25. I usually don't worry about the money here, so that's why I get so confused about things. It's $25, add $5 shipping and handling, a total of 30. But this book actually is even bigger. The Illuminati Facts and Fiction, and it covers the Bilderbergers and everything by Mark Dice, and it is $23. Okay? So that's how to get them. Again, on powerofprophecy.com or our 1-800-234-9673 toll-free number, or just send us the money, a check or a money order, and address it, make a little note on it. Text, send me the Illuminati Facts and Fiction by Mark Dice, or The True Story of the Bilderbergers by Daniel Estulin. E-S-T-U-L-I-N. Again, and finally, the Illuminati is $23 postpaid. And the Bilderbergers book. Just ask for the Bilderbergers book. It's the only one out there. $30 by Daniel Estulin. Okay, enough of this advertising. You know, the thing about our advertising is we don't offer you all this other stuff that comes, you know, that like you listen to the radio, you listen to Genesis or Republic Network. Those are good networks. Got a lot of great people on them. But, you know, they besiege you with all these commercials. We just have one right in the middle. We stack it all together. And we usually offer you something of value. A book, a video, a DVD that you many times will not find anywhere else. Many times. And that's why we offer them to you. We want to educate you, to help you to educate yourself. So as the book of Daniel says in the Bible, you will be wise. You will understand. Now with all that, so we've helped you out by giving you some resources here that you can order. And I think you'll enjoy reading them. I've always loved exposing the devil and his works. A lot of people say, oh, doesn't that make you gloomy and doomy? Don't you just sit around Tex Mars with a cloud all over you? Oh, it's so horrible. Oh, no. I know the end of all things. And besides that, it's fun. You know, it's fun to be a policeman and catch the bad guys. Put them behind bars. I like that. The rapists and the plunderers. In fact, I'd like to take about half the congressmen, give them a fair trial, and then put them behind bars. Boy, wouldn't that be fun? I mean, I'd just be laughing every day because these are evil people, and many of them are members of the Illuminati. Now, I want to get back to Mark Dice here in his book. We were talking about the Antichrist Bible prophecy, and Mark Dice, welcome again to Power of Prophecy.
Thank you.
What about that? Is Bible prophecy, does it say there's going to be a conspiracy of evil people in the last days?
Absolutely. If anybody's interested in Christianity, anybody is a Christian, most people know, have heard, hopefully have read and studied the book of Revelation, but it's fascinating because the book of Revelation describes an individual that's going to rise to power, a king, so to speak, a dictator, that's going to then claim to be God and demand to be worshipped. And it fully says that there are people in the Bible, that Jesus himself says that there are people that are claiming to be Jews but are not Jews, that are involved in this conspiracy, aiding this individual, and says that they're from the synagogue of Satan. So really what he's talking about is these Illuminati individuals that literally worship Lucifer, think that they become a god through the secret knowledge that Satan has given, starting back to the Garden of Eden, the forbidden fruit. And so they've taken this secret knowledge and they've hidden it away and created these hierarchical structures and secret societies where people prove their dedication, and then they're able to get more of this knowledge and become deeper involved in the Illuminati Mafia and have more power and get more money, obtain more influence. And so it's fascinating, and it really confirmed my faith as a Christian when I started learning about the Illuminati and the New World Order and the Mark of the Beast. And you can see that there is definitely a plan, and it's all written out in the Bible, and it's coming to fruition. And I like, you know, for anybody that's not religious, I know that this is a Christian program, you're a pastor yourself, but I like to bring people that are not a Christian or not even spiritually aware to bring this knowledge to them so that they can come into a relationship with God and with Jesus, and so that they can understand really who they are as a person, and that there's a plan for their life and the principles that God has laid out to live by in the Bible in order to live a happy and a healthy life, or at least as happy and as healthy and as successful as you can be if you really only just simply follow the rules and become aware of God and his plan and his divine guidance throughout human history. And so by learning about the Illuminati and seeing that there is this group of criminals, and it's fair to call them Satanists, that are designing and that really have designed this structure to enslave people financially, spiritually, emotionally, to destroy their relationships. If you can understand that, then you can help to prevent or largely minimize their influence on your own life. And it's interesting, a tie-in here to Bible prophecy. The high-level Freemasons, the worshipful master is the name of the head of a Freemason lodge. And the Freemason's lodge is a representation of Solomon's temple. And in the Bible, it describes that the Antichrist is going, when the Solomon's temple is rebuilt in Israel, the Antichrist is going to take up that temple, essentially, I believe, as sort of his office or as his headquarters. And in that temple, he's going to declare to be God. And how interesting is it that high-level Freemasons are called the worshipful master of their lodge? And that the lodge is a representation of Solomon's temple, and that they themselves are essentially worshiping Lucifer, and that's their main secret of Freemasonry. That the reason for the 33 different degrees is to allow them in their minds to achieve godhood, and that's ultimately what this Antichrist global dictator will do. And if we look at Obama, and people may call him the Antichrist, they don't believe he is. He doesn't have the correct qualifications, but he certainly is a fantastic prototype. And if you can just see how he's held up as this savior figure, how he's worshipped by people, people think that he can save all of their problems. This is a prototype of what the ultimate Antichrist will be when he declares to be God and demands to have worship. But instead of upholding God's principles, he's essentially a counterfeit Christ, and the Christians are going to be the ones that are judged for not going along with the rules that he dictates are society's and the New World Order's rules, because we still want traditional marriage. We still want morals and family values, and we don't like the filth that's put out into society. And so we're the ones that are going to be considered the problem, and the ones that are holding back the country and the world from sort of evolving into this global paradise that he's going to be promising.
You know, when I was in Chicago many years ago, I gave a talk, and a Catholic woman came up, and she began to tell me, and she had it documented, of course, many of the horrors going on inside the Catholic Diocese of Chicago. I found out later that Cardinal Bernardine was the cardinal, Mark, and it's going along with what you're talking about, that Satan is behind all this, and there is a spiritual motive behind it. But, you know, she was talking about Buddhist monks being invited in to teach meditation and all kinds of things going on, false teachings inside the Catholic Church, and Hindu gurus being quoted by priests and so forth. And she had a friend in Cardinal Bernardine's office, but that friend told her, well, the cardinal is the one behind all this. And it's turned out, I was recently reading in Christian News by my good friend, a publication by my good friend, Pastor Herman Otten, a Lutheran pastor and a good Christian man. The witnesses now, Colonel Bernardine has died. He died. Before he died, he was accused of being a homosexual and molesting young boys. The Catholic Church covered that up. But now that he's dead, it is now coming out that he and other high-level priests actually participated in satanic rituals. And Cardinal Bernardine was perhaps the most powerful Catholic prelate in the United States of America, almost in the whole world. So what you say in your book about this, this runs across all kinds of organizations and churches. And I'm not here to knock the Catholic Church, because you can find a lot of this also in Protestant groups as well. But it does confirm what you said, that, you know, Satan is worshipped in Freemasonry, in Catholic and Protestant churches, and certainly in Jewish synagogues. And it just defies what we think. The world seems to be a lot more strange and horrible than what the unsuspecting Christians think. Is that what you found?
Yeah, most Christians still think that they're just waiting for the rapture and for Jesus to just come back, and they don't think that they have to fight the evil or expose the evil. And it's a very disturbing thing and a trend because, throughout the Bible, the Christians and the apostles and God's chosen ones would stand up to evil and denounce it and expose it, and that's what we're supposed to do. And this bubblegum Christianity has been so watered down that the true essence of Christianity is few and far between in most mainstream churches. And what this comes down to, and I break down in the Illuminati Facts and Fiction, I have a section on the Luciferian doctrine, and I analyze what it is for these people to worship Satan, and what does it mean? Because you hear a lot of disinformation from people that claim to be Satanists that are followers of Anton LaVey and have read the Satanic Bible, and they say that Satanists don't really believe in Satan. They're just atheists. But then, at the same time, Anton LaVey, in his own authorized biography, talked about doing prayers to Satan, and he believed in the supernatural. So really look at what is it that these people, this Illuminati, believe. And there's two different schools of thought on what they believe. One approach is that they don't believe that there is any sort of an afterlife at all, and so that they think that they're privy and that they're aware of this secret, and they think that everybody else that believes in an afterlife and a judgment is foolish, and so that they're going to take all that they can here and now in this life, because they believe that when they're dead, they're dead. They're just going to be no different than a dead animal, that there's no afterlife, no soul, no nothing. And so they've, through these organizations, they take all that they can and they leech off of society to then accumulate as much wealth and experiences as they can. That's one way to look at what the Illuminati believe, what the Luciferian doctrine is, and Aleister Crowley summed that up in "Do what thou wilt," meaning do what you want. Do whatever you want to do is essentially their creed. They don't believe in any sort of divine retribution or, you know, following the golden rule, love your neighbor like yourself. They don't believe in any of that. And so if they have this mindset of there's no afterlife, there's no real personal God that's going to judge or punish them for their activities, then nothing holds them back from doing what they do, and then they create this false facade that they're like us, like your average person that believes in doing good and believes in God and believes in some sort of a divine justice. And that's one way to look at what the Luciferian doctrine is that they believe that this secret knowledge has enlightened them to the truth, quote-unquote truth, that there is no afterlife. That's one way to look at it. Another way is that they believe that there is somehow not a personal God, that there's no judgment on a personal level for your sins and your misdeed, but that there's some spiritual force and that they can somehow balance that force out by doing good deeds with bad deeds. So that essentially is what I've come to discover as the Luciferian doctrine, is the secret knowledge that leads to these sort of ideas and then the ensuing behaviors that those ideas or those ideologies lead one to.
Okay, now let's just look at something that's very big now in society that you cover well, in fact, quite interestingly in your book. You really talk about the influence of the Illuminati and its doctrines, how they have become immersed throughout society, and how they're literally propagandizing, shaping people's minds, almost hypnotizing people. And you particularly mentioned many popular movies, these Dan Brown books and movies. And get into this area a little bit if you could.
Dan Brown, of course, as many people know, is the author of The Da Vinci Code, the book that views this conspiracy theory and this lie that Jesus had a family and that the secret society is essentially the Illuminati was created to cover up that family tree and to keep it protected from the Catholic Church. And this is totally bogus. It's totally been debunked in every possible level, but millions of people still believe this. So Dan Brown has another book, it's called Angels and Demons. It was put before the Da Vinci Code, but the film was just released this summer of 2009. And in the book and in the movie, the Illuminati surface and are plotting to blow up Vatican City from being suppressed back hundreds of years ago. And according to the book and the film, it leads one to believe that the Illuminati, oh, wow, look, it looks like they really do exist. And the conspiracy theories and the conspiracy theorists were correct. I mean, my God, they're actually real. But then at the very end, it turns out that, according to Dan Brown, that the big climactic ending is that the Illuminati is not active and that they went into extinction after they were discovered, and that the whole threat of the Illuminati was being perpetuated by one Catholic official to then stir up fear and then to triumphantly destroy them and have the Catholic Church be the victor over the Illuminati. And so the Illuminati has been a fringe underground topic for hundreds of years. And so what this book and this movie did is it brought it into the mainstream. And you couldn't turn on the TV while they were promoting the movie in the weeks coming up to it without hearing about the Illuminati. I mean, even Sean Hannity on Fox News, one of the biggest Illuminati propagandists on their payroll, even did a segment about the Illuminati. And it was all over the History Channel. But they fictionalized it, and they tainted the facts so that anybody that wasn't aware of it, then when somebody like us in this audience would address the issues that we're talking about in this interview, or the issues that are talked about in my books or in Tex's books, then people would say, oh, no, I mean, I saw that on Fox News, and you got it all wrong, and the Illuminati doesn't exist anymore. You must have been too wrapped up in Dan Brown's books. And so that's one thing what the Illuminati does, and they've done this with 9/11, with the 9/11 attacks. They've fictionalized it and mixed in fact with fiction. It's called poisoning the well, where they put out a little bit of truthful information in films or on the news, but then they mix in such ridiculous claims that it's easily debunked, and then you debunk the ridiculous claim, and then the average person thinks that the whole group of claims is just completely absurd when it was only that one small little element that was debunked. So you find this in Dan Brown's books, in several other Hollywood movies, and there are a lot of movies that mention the Illuminati and have Illuminati symbolism, and not all of them, I believe, are trying to fictionalize it and taint it. I think that some of the writers were just clearly inspired by the Illuminati and sort of used them as a bad guy because, I mean, let's face it, it's an interesting story when you start looking into what it is. I find that the factual information much more compelling than any Hollywood narrative could spin it. But I separate this. There's a section in the Illuminati Facts and Fiction about the Hollywood movies, and I take a look at the writers and the role, the purpose for putting out such a film, what are their intentions, is it to fictionalize it, to poison the well, are they trying to use their art form to educate people, because there are some, very few, some in Hollywood and in media that try to use their art form to educate the audience through a narrative, a Scanner Darkly is one of those films. Several other films that sort of use that method. So I don't like to jump to conclusions just because the film mentions the Illuminati, that they're trying to somehow subconsciously manipulate people or create a whitewash, because some of the films are intended to educate people in a way that a documentary film does, but that's just not the producer or the writer's really forte.
Mm. Okay, let's talk a little bit about television, about books, television, comic books. Do you see a lot of Illuminati in television today? Can you say that, you know, like the very popular show No Longer On, except maybe in syndication, X-Files, the UFOs, the reptilians? You know, a lot of people are concerned about those kind of things. And, of course, you know, Satan is depicted, which I believe is symbolic only, in the Bible as the red dragon, as a serpent. How do you see many of these claims of these serpentine creatures?
That is a very interesting aspect, and I like you, think that it's probably a symbolic reference. Did Satan look like a dragon? Did he appear? I mean, Satan could really appear as practically anything. I think that perhaps when society was, when human beings were really first starting to learn about God and, you know, the descendants of Adam and Eve, maybe that was a way for Adam and Eve to teach their children and for people to learn about the concepts of good and evil, to learn that there is there's the God creator, there's rules that he's established, but there's this other entity that is against him and wants people to essentially break the rules. And then when you break the rules, you end up ruining your life, as most people realize. But that's the ultimate trick of Satan or of breaking God's rules. It may appear to be a good idea at the first a short-sightedness, sort of like a bank robber. He can go out and rob a bank and get a couple $1 million, and did he succeed in getting the money? Yes. He can go out and live a lavish lifestyle for maybe even a few years, even perhaps a few decades. But sooner or later, there are going to be clues that are discovered that are going to ultimately lead to his capture and arrest and conviction, and then it's not going to have been worth it. But the some of the symbolism, you know, goes back. I mean, I think that a lot of Hollywood has picked up on this symbolism that Satan is depicted as a snake and as a dragon, and sort of used that in the X-Files and in different fictional films, and the V series, when the aliens came down as reptiles from another planet. And, you know, some people like David Icke have taken this as a literal depiction, and I cover this in the book as well, which is why I think I tried to take a skeptical view at all of the claims about the Illuminati. So when somebody's new to this and you start Googling it, you find these interesting claims about the Illuminati. Okay, you find there's the Skull and Bone Society, and they worship Satan. They go to the Bohemian Grove. They do mock human sacrifices. They allegedly rape children in these sick, perverted rituals. And then you find the stuff about the aliens and UFOs and this, are the Illuminati a blend of an ancient alien race and human beings? And so I took a look at all of the stuff that everybody finds, and I look at it through a skeptical lens and kind of separate the facts from fiction. And what are the evidence for some of these claims? You know, what are the odds of some of these claims being legitimate? What are the odds of some of these individuals that have claimed to be members of the Illuminati, former members of the Illuminati, William Schneblin, John Todd? What are the odds that these people are authentic, that they're being honest? What are their claims? What are their history? What is it that they have to say that isn't been out in the Illuminati culture and the anti-New World Order culture? And so I think I take a good look at all of these claims and take a good separating them from what is factual, what's possibly factual. And I like to choose my words very carefully. When I say something is a fact, I like to consider it a fact documented upside down and backwards. If something is a possibility, I'll say it's a possibility. If it's an allegation with shady references, I'll say it's an allegation. I don't like to jump to conclusions and just claim that something's a fact when it's an allegation, or even if it could be a fact. I like to find the evidence for it and be very, very clear and concise with the words that I choose.
Well, I think you're very fair. And, you know, a person doesn't have to totally agree with you. The thing is, this is an encyclopedia of information, this book, The Illuminati Facts and Fiction. And, you know, we're always continuing to discover. We're like scientists, you know, studying these things, but it is amazing what we've already discovered, and there's enough facts and truth in this book that will really help people. Mark Dice, I want to thank you for being our guest today on Power of Prophecy.
Hey, Tex, always a pleasure talking with you.
Well, we're going to push this book very hard because people need to know more and more and more. And I especially like the way you covered so many, you know, areas. I don't know of any one book that actually looks at the whole, you know, omnibus of things. So again, my thanks. Folks, you've been listening to Power of Prophecy. My guest has been Mark Dice. His book, The Illuminati Facts and Fiction, is available here from the ministry. And my prayer is that you will tune in each week during this same time on Worldwide Christian Radio and discover the power of prophecy.